All right, we have been preaching over the last month about small steps, and I hope and pray that from when we began this series that you have taken some steps today. I hope that you have begun the journey of becoming mature in Christ. You know, Mark read our verse for us today, our theme verse, which is that our goal in maturity is to be, our goal in life is to be mature in Christ. And we know that that doesn't happen overnight. For us to be mature believers in Jesus, it takes a while. You know, it takes time for us to grow and to season for what God wants us to be. But hopefully as we've studied and we've looked at taking small steps, that we know that we can be what God wants us to be. You know, as I look out in this crowd, some of you all think, you know, I'll never read through the Bible. I'll never do that. And I'm telling you that you can. I have a feeling that if you began just to apply what we've learned over the last month, I believe that this time next year, every single one of you could have read through the entire Bible if you desire that and you ask God to do that. And I believe that next year that we can have people that are fully committed to small groups, fully committed to sharing their faith, fully committed to being what God wants us to be. Because as we've learned, these small steps, you know, it doesn't happen overnight and it's a series of them, but when we begin to take small steps, God will do great things. You know, our church is a baby church. We're only 8 months old. Did you guys know that? We're only 8 months old. But look what God has done in the process. Isn't it amazing to see how far the Lord has carried us in just eight short months? But here's the deal. We're not there yet. And we have a lot more small steps to take. And it's going to be a ride. It's going to be a journey. But it's exciting to do this. It's exciting to see God bringing together a church, bringing together a community of Christians that's living for the Lord. And this is one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my entire life. And you know, as we kind of wrap up this sermon series today, let's just review what our small steps have been, if we can. Let's just think about that. We know that the step to maturity, the step to being what God has for you, begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't make that step of giving your heart and your life to Jesus, you've not even begun the journey. So it all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Then we talked about the need to make that public, that if you know Jesus, if he's in your heart, you need to make that public through what we call believer's baptism, that you need to be baptized, you need to take the plunge, so to speak. That's the next small step in being part of a church. Then we talked about the need to be part of a group, the need to be part of a Bible study so we can study God's Word together and we can get to know each other. And the reality is that as we meet together as a church, we just don't need to come on Sunday mornings. Oh, I'm glad you're here, for the record. Did you know that? I'm glad you're here on Sunday mornings. But it needs to go a step beyond that, to where you just aren't sitting next to somebody, but that you know somebody. This is a church family that we're forming, that we get to know each other and love each other and pray for each other. And last week we talked about the step of sharing your faith, of telling others about Jesus. And let me just make a plug here real quick. Last Sunday night we started our life group study on Share Jesus Without Fear and how to share the gospel with others. And I'm telling you, it was an awesome night. It was maybe one of the best small groups that I've been in to date at Life Community, because I mean, it was just like light bulbs that were going off. And y'all that were there, nod with me if you agree with me on that. It was just like light bulbs were going off that, hey, we need to share our faith. And by the way, you come tonight at 5 o'clock over at the Logs Center. You come tonight. We're going to keep that study going. So we have big goals. You know, our church is growing. We're on the road to becoming a self-supportive church. We're on the road to becoming a church that has great things that God has for us. And these are all small steps that we got to take. And it requires patience. It requires planning. It requires prayer. All of this stuff on this journey that we're on. But we're on it, aren't we, guys? We're on it. We've started it. We ain't turning back. Amen on that one today. We got a long way to go, but God is going to do some great things. So I begin to pray, what is the last thing I can share with you? Because there's all kinds of small steps, really, that you could take. There's all kinds. But what is the Lord pressing on my heart to share with you on the last message of this series? And I just felt led to go to Romans 12. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. If you got your program, it's on the back of your program. It's printed there for you. But I just want to read to you this morning, Romans 12, because the next small step that we need to take is for spiritual growth by serving and developing a servant's heart. Listen, this is what the Bible says. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Now, if you have your Bible open, underline that part. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of faith. If service, and service. If teaching, and exhortation, and exhortation. And giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. And Father, may you bless your word as we read it. Now, as we take our one more step today, and like I said, there's all kinds of scripture steps that we need to take, but it's the one that we focus on today is developing a servant's heart. And this is a great passage for that. I want to begin today by telling you this. I have a confession to my church. It's a dirty, dark, secret confession for you today. You ready? You ready to blog this, tweet this, put this on Facebook? Are you ready? Here it comes. Here it comes. I have a confession. I am prone to be selfish. Anybody else on that today? I'm prone to be. Let me explain that. My wife will say, Kenny, where do you want to eat at? And I will say, I really don't care, but secretly I do. And secretly, I know where I want to eat at, and it starts with an M and it ends with Exican is where I want to eat at, okay? No matter what. No matter what. It's where I want to eat at. No matter what. Love it. Love it. But I will secretly know that. By the way, when I walk into the house, I expect the TV remote control to be in my possession when I come into the house. I do. I want to watch what I want to watch. I want to eat where I want to eat. I want to watch the movies, Derek, that I want to watch. I do. I want to read the books that I want to read. I want to go on vacation where I want to go. Anybody else in that boat today? Every one of you all are. Am I right? How do I know that? Because you're breathing today. It's how I know that. Human beings, can I just be honest with you? The reason I'm able to confess that today is that human beings by nature are wired to be selfish. Now think about that. We're wired from the very earliest moments of life. Gimme, 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 gimme. Am I right about that today? Gimme, 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 gimme. From the very first moments of life, we are wired to say, I want it this way. And, you know, and that's the thing with selfishness. You know, you pout. You know, even though you're an adult, you still pout, don't you? Yeah, we do. We do. We can say we don't, but whatever. I'm fine. Whatever you want to eat. Okay. You know, we do that. Okay. All right. Sure. Yeah, expect me to smile. Blah. You know, we do that. But here's the deal. Selfishness, as much as I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. Selfishness is a sign of immaturity. Did you know that today? Selfishness is part of being immature. And as we grow in Christ and our goal is to be mature in Jesus, selfishness is something that's going to have to go out the window. It really is. If we're going to live for Jesus, selfishness is going to have to just go away. Now, let me give you the opposite of selfishness. Can I give you the opposite of selfishness? The opposite of selfishness is servanthood. It's the exact opposite. Now, as much as we scream, I want to eat here. I want to do this. I want to spend this money that way. I want to do this. I got to do this. This is my. The temperature's got to be where I want it to be at. Blah, 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 blah. The exact opposite of that is servanthood. Now, let me tell you why we don't like servanthood. Can I tell you that today? Why we don't like being servants. Because a servant goes against everything that we naturally are inclined to do. We want. But with the servant mentality, a servant heart, it's the exact opposite. It's give, 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 give. And somebody will say, well, I'm just tired of giving. Well, honestly, that's immaturity coming up. That's selfishness that emerges with that. Now, I know this is tough. I know it's hard. Maybe the hardest step that we've taken. Because when you knock out the servant's heart, Doesn't everything else just kind of follow? You'll share your faith because you're willing to serve. Doesn't that just kind of happen? You'll tell others about Jesus. You'll get in a small group. You'll help your small group. You'll help people. But that servant deal is tough. You know, Philippians 2, 6, 7 tells us this about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, Jesus is God, did not consider equality with God something to be used on his own advantage. It says that even though Jesus was God while he is God and he was the Lord and he is God, he was on this earth, but he didn't use his godness to please himself. Isn't that amazing? He didn't walk around doing magic tricks. That's not what he did. He was selfless. And it says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. See, Jesus was a servant. He was here and he was God. I mean, they should have fell at his feet and worshiped him, done whatever he asked, but instead he came to serve. And if we today are going to be mature in Christ, listen, we must become servants. There's just no other way around it. We must become servants. Now, why does Christ serve? Why does Christ serve? Well, to show God's love. You know, I'm just amazed at how many people are turned off by church. You know, they say, well, those Christians are mean, they're mean-spirited, they're ugly, they want your money, they want this, they want that. They'll gossip about you, they'll do this, they'll do that. And I was just sitting there thinking, that is the last thing that Jesus would do. Am I right about that? I mean, he came to show that God loves us. And you know, and serving does that. When we serve, it shows that God loves it, the gospel. It demonstrates God's love. It demonstrates the gospel that we must be saved. And Jesus served us so that we would know that we have to be saved through him, through the blood and the cross, and that we got to believe and trust in Jesus and growth. You know, when he served so we can grow. And he said, you know, I've done this for you. Now you go do this for others, is what he said in John 13. So if we do not develop servant hearts, we'll never look like Jesus. If we don't learn how to serve, we'll never look like Jesus. Now think about this. Where do we serve? Well, let me give you three C's. These aren't your notes, but three C's where you can serve. You can serve your church, you can serve your community, and you can serve your connections. Your church. How does your church need you to step up and use your gifts? Your community, how can you help your neighborhood? How can you help organizations that's here in the city that need your help? Your connections, how can you help your family? How can you help your friends? Christ came to serve because of God's love, the gospel, and growth. We can serve in our church, communities, and connections. Aren't I a good Baptist for having 3 points, 6 points there that all start with the same letter? Isn't that nice? God's love, gospel, growth, church, community, connections. I'm so Baptist this morning. Forgive me. But here's the deal. We must serve, but we give excuses not to serve, right? Come on, don't we? We have excuses. Let me just bust some excuses today for us. I don't have time, Brother Kenny. I don't have time. I don't have time. Well, if it's what we're supposed to do as Christians, maybe we should make time. We got time for this, for the movies, for TV, for this, that. I like this one. I'm afraid I won't do it right. Well, if you never do it, you won't do it right. You're failing already if you don't do it. Hey, can I tell you something? You will grow if you try something you've never tried before. You know that? You want to stay where you are. Keep doing the same thing you want to do. You keep doing. Just keep that. You want to grow and stretch yourself, try new things. Amen or oh me on that one today. Try new things. They ain't going to hurt you. You're going to be all right. I'm afraid I won't do it right. Well, I've never done it before. Good news. You can if you just volunteer to do it. And you can say, I've done that before. I've done it now. But see, it's just excuses where really a servant's heart is so different. A servant's heart is like Jesus, who went to the cross and died. He washed the disciples' feet. He blessed and the loaves and the fishes, and he fed people. So we need this in our heart because our pride, our selfishness, our human nature, gimme, 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 gimme. Jesus is totally different. He gives, 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 gives. It's just a mindset. So how do we get a servant's heart? Well, let me just go ahead and say this. If you've not made the first small step to giving your life to Jesus, we need to stop here because you're not going to get this. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, this will be so foreign to you because the very first thing you need today is a walk with Jesus. You're not going to ever learn how to serve unless you have Jesus. Here's why. Because we don't do this naturally. Jesus does this supernaturally. So if he's not in your life, you'll never be a servant. Got it? Get it? Good. Amen. So let's go on. So we need to develop a servant heart today. First, understand this, that a servant understands worship. A servant understands worship. It says this in the very first section. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Servanthood begins when we know how to properly worship God. Hey, does God deserve our worship today? Does he deserve our worship? I mean, he created the earth, he created the sky, he created you, he created your children, he created your family. More than that, he came to this earth, he died for us, he shed his blood, he rose again. We give our lives to him, he saves us, he forgives us, he gives us a future and a plan. He deserves worship this morning. He deserves it. So to really understand servant, you got to understand what worship is. The problem is that when we think of worship, here's what we think of. You ready? Sunday morning. Preaching, music, offering, 11 o'clock sharp, 12 o'clock dull, I'll meet you at Real Hacienda. Amen? That's how it works, right? That's worship. That's worship, right? That's worship. Well, can I just stretch us this morning a little bit? That's part of worship. A very important part. This gathering that we do is very, very important. Y'all with me on that today? Very important. You know, we grow from each other. We need to see each other. You know, I need to see Aaron. Aaron needs to see me. I need to see Jason. I need to see Miss Tamara. I need to see Eric. I mean, I need you all. Y'all need me. We need to worship God together. But it just doesn't end here. See, worship on Sunday morning prepares us for worship on Monday morning. See, real worship goes beyond Sunday. And it goes a little bit deeper into Sunday. Look what he says. Present your body as a what? As a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they would take these goats and these bulls, and they would bring it to the altar, and they would sacrifice those things. But in the New Testament, Jesus is the sacrifice. We don't need bulls and goats. Jesus is the final sacrifice. But instead, we're told now that we are a living sacrifice. You know what a living sacrifice does? It walks up on the altar by itself freely and chooses to die. Boy, this is tough. And a living sacrifice has to choose to die every single day. Now, Kenny, what are you talking about death? That's kind of weird. I'm talking about dying to our pride, our selfishness, our sin, the things that we want. We just got to die to that. You know, if you break this passage down, you know, you're presenting your body. And it says, don't be conformed, but be renewed in the mind. And that you may discern what the will of God is. You have three things that's going on. Body, mind, and will. Three things. If we're ever going to understand worship, you got to submit your body to Jesus. You got to submit your mind to Jesus. And you got to submit your will to Jesus. Now, this is tough because our body doesn't want to do things for Jesus. It doesn't. Our mind doesn't really want to think about that. We'd rather rot it with dumb reality TV that has no sense at all, as opposed to thinking about the God of the universe. And our will, conscientiously, freely doing this, body, mind, will. Now, could it be possible that every Sunday morning people are gathering to worship, and they leave church? And I've heard this over and over and over and over. I just don't get anything out of the service. I just don't get anything out of the service. And I've heard that. And it's funny because, you know, I could be in the same service and get a lot out of it. And I think, and I know some other people are like, well, that person was really spoken to, and this person wasn't. So what's the deal? Maybe it's not so much the service as the individual. You ever thought about that? See, again, our selfish mentality. I come to church to be fed. I come to church to be fed. I hear that all the time. I come to church to be fed. Boy, if you're only eating once a week, you're going to be hungry. Right? You're going to be hungry if you only eat once a week. That's it. You got to be feeding every day. But here's the deal. If you don't have a servant's mentality, you're not going to get worship. You're not going to get this. Hey, here's what's awesome. When you have a servant's heart and you're serving the Lord, this is just the fire up for the rest of the week. This is the gas on the fire that gets you going for the rest of the week. This is the place where we get our bodies in check, our minds in check, our will in check for Monday. This is where we come to get a little gas on the fire so we can serve. And when we serve, you ready for this? We worship. We worship. See, most of the time when people say, I don't get anything out of it, is because they don't have a servant's heart. Because worship and servanthood, according to Romans 12, are interconnected. They are interconnected. And this is where we just got to blow the roof off of this myth about worship. It is interconnected. So let me tell you this. If we are doing this, how are you using your body to serve? How are you using your physical body to serve? Remember, church, community, connections. Church, community, connections. How are you using your body in your church? Are you using it to help, to be there? How are you using it in the community? Are you knowing your neighbors? Are you knocking on your neighbor's door? Are you helping them? Your neighbor is sick. Go mow their yard for them. Amen? Help them. What about your connections? Who do you know in your circle of influence that you can serve, that you can love on and help? You know, think about this. And when you do this in the name of Jesus, boy, this Sunday becomes even more important. I mean, it just changes everything when you do that. It just changes everything when you're in a giving mode as opposed to a getting mode. Y'all with me on that today? It changes everything. You won't walk out of here saying, I didn't get anything. You'll walk out of here saying, man, praise the Lord, I got something to go do something tomorrow with. I mean, that's the point of it. So they understand worship. They understand worship. Second, a servant understands themselves. They understand themselves. Now, I'm going to read a little bit further than what's in your notes, but it's there anyway. So, Eric, if I confuse you on the screen, don't worry about it. I'll just keep reading, okay? But in verse 3, it says, For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Verse 4, now as we have many parts in one body, and all parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Now let me break that down, okay? Let me break that down. Paul said, understand grace. By the grace given to me, I say this. Now what is grace? Grace is something you don't deserve. You with me on that? Grace, when you got saved, you gave your life to Jesus, you surrender your heart to Jesus, you were given forgiveness and security in heaven. You don't deserve that. That's grace. That's grace. But he says, because we're under grace, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. I like the way the New Living Translation translates it. It says, don't think of yourselves better than what you are. Don't think of yourselves better than what you are. Back then, there was a temptation in the church back then that people thought that church was all about them. Now, we don't have that problem anymore, do we, in the United States, that church is about us, right? Well, that was the problem that they had. They thought it was about them. And there was two responses to that happened. One is that one group of people, they thought they could do everything the best on their own. So they did everything. And they dogged it. They controlled it. They took, you know, they did everything on their own. Everything. The second group of people was the exact opposite. They did nothing. So you had one group of people that was literally doing everything because they were control freaks. Control freaks. Couldn't let anything loose. You can't do that. That's mine. And there's another group of people that just sat there, well, how are you going to help me? 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 And Paul was said, be careful. Don't think of yourself better than what you are. Hey, listen, it's by grace we're saved. Understand that. When you get into your mind that you're saved by grace, that should do something to your pride. It should do something to your selfishness. It should tell you this, that you can't do this on your own, that you need Jesus. And if you need Jesus, guess what? You are in need of help today. Whether you want to say it or not, you're in need of help. Likewise, when we become Christians, you ready for this? We also need each other. Y'all with me on that? We need to be in the body. Paul said that we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to each other. Why is it important to be part of a church family? Because we need each other. I need Marshall. Marshall needs me. That's the way it works. We need each other. And he says, don't think of yourselves better than what... Be, understand grace. Now, the same temptations are there for us. Here's one temptation. This is my church. I do everything around here. In a church that I served in, there was a lady that controlled the donuts at our church. Controlled the donuts. You better not get two donuts. Only one per person. Yell at you, man. Scary. You know, nothing says welcome to our church like being yelled at over the donut table. You know what I mean? And here's the deal. Our church budget bought those donuts. You know, this is for the... This lady wasn't queen of the donuts. She might have thought she owned a Krispy Kreme somewhere, but she didn't. She didn't. And you know, she had this unhealthy view of the donut table. Yell at you. Tina, yell at you. Smack your hand. I'm not kidding you. Crazy stuff, man. Nothing says come back to church like that, right? You know? But it was an unhealthiness about it. An unhealthiness. I've seen it in other ways. We are not going to change the carpet color. We are not going to change the windows. We are not going to put a new air conditioning in, even though we're all burning to death and this one doesn't work. I mean, it's this crazy mentality. And Paul says, think of yourself with grace. Don't think you're not the queen bee. You ain't the king of this church. Can I tell you this? Kenny Rager ain't the king of Life Community. Jesus is the king of Life Community Church. Jesus is the boss. He's the boss. I just work for him, man. He's the boss daddy. Unhelped. Now, the other side is this, is that I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do, I just want to come and blend in. Just sit there, blend in. And you know, guys, I'll tell you, you know, that's what's crazy about a church plant. There ain't a lot of setting in a church plant. Amen. You can amen that one. And you know, and there's been some people that's come that's just, this has not been for them because a lot of work. We're growing. And it's just, there's not a lot of setting at Life Community. And I get that. But guys, I also believe we're something part of something big too, don't you? I'm glad to be in on this, aren't you? I'm glad I have the opportunity to. But here's the key. Think of yourselves in light of grace. Understand who you are, that you need people, that you need to serve. You don't need to be the control freak, but you also don't need to sit there and do nothing. Y'all with me on that today? You need to serve. You need to understand it was by grace. So here's the deal. You're not the control freak, but it's also a privilege to serve. It's a privilege to serve. And we need to understand that. Third, a servant understands their gifts. He says in verse, he says, according to the grace given us, we have different gifts. Now, I don't have time to go into this very deeply, but here's the deal. When you get saved, God gives you gifts, okay? All kinds. This is one list of gifts here. There's another list in the Corinthian books about spiritual gifts that he gives you. And let me just, in a nutshell, explain gifts to you as best as I can. A gift is something that God gives you at the moment of salvation. It's something that he puts into you. It's not a natural ability or a natural talent. It's something that he gives you. It's a grace that he gives you, okay? So God can use your natural talents. He can use those, but a gift is something that just happened as a result of you being saved. It just happened as a result of you being saved. So that's why some people, you know, never would preach, ever. They stutter, they had a hard time, scared to death of crowds, they get saved. Now all of a sudden they're preaching like the wild storm because God gifted them. Y'all with me on that today? Now, you can use your talents and your abilities for the Lord, and you should. But the gifts are really, really supposed to be used. Y'all with me on that? Use your talents, use your natural abilities, yes. But your gifts must be used because they were given to you for that purpose. Now, you can go down the list. You can look at it. He says prophecy, which is preaching. He says service. He says teaching, exhortation, which is encouragement or a lifting up of the body, generosity, diligence, mercy. Those are just some of the gifts that God gives us. When you got saved, maybe God made you into a great servant. You're not going to be a preacher. You're scared to death of preaching. Well, that's all right. Life Community has a preacher. And we got like three other guys that could preach if I get sick or something. It's pretty cool, you know. But not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. But we need people that are just gifted to serve. Gifted to serve. To teach. To go back there and work with those kids. And let me just tell you this in regards to kids. You might have the gift of teaching. You'll say, oh, Kenny, I wish I didn't have the gift of teaching. And God's saying, no, you got it. You got to use it. Y'all with me on that? It was given to you for generosity. There are some people, and I'm just telling you, that are gifted supernaturally to be big givers. To be givers. To underwrite stuff. According to Scripture. Some people can do that. Diligence, mercy, things that happen. But here's the deal with gifts, and I got to tell you this. A gift is scary because you really don't know if you have it until you experiment with it. Y'all with me on that? Now, let me explain this, okay? Some of you are gifted to do things, and you don't even know what that gift is because you're not utilizing it. You're looking at your natural ability. Well, I'm good at this, I'm good at that, I'm good at this, but I've never done that, so that's kind of scary. But the deal is that God's gifting is totally different. God's gifting is something that happens in you. So how do you discover gifts? You tread the water. How do you know that you don't have the gift of teaching until you've tried to teach? Y'all with me on that? How do you know you don't have the gift of giving until you try to give? How do you know you don't have the gift of preaching until you try to preach? Think about this. So many people will get overwhelmed. And let me just say this, you know, especially with kids. Kids scare us. They scare me. I have two, okay? They scare me. I'm afraid I'm going to break them, okay? I'm with you, all right? But here's the deal. Some of you all are awesome parents, amazing parents. You did something right. You ever thought about that? You did something right. Why would that disqualify you from teaching kids? You did something right. Does that make sense today? Just stop and look at it. You did something right. You're scared that you're going to teach them something wrong, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But that's a fear that the devil puts out there. Y'all with me on that? Well, I'm afraid to get here at 8 o'clock because I'm afraid to get out of bed because I enjoy sleep so much. Amen? But God will use you. You might become one of them. You might get so much joy out of serving at 8 o'clock. I'm just going to tell you this. We have fun at 8 and 1, 8 to 11. Guys, tell me that was here this morning. Did anybody that was here this morning not laugh or smile? You all did. Because it's a joy. Now, again, you need breaks. You do. I want to tell you, if you don't serve, you're going to get sour. Just telling you how it is. We as human beings are prone to selfishness. Selfishness is a sign of immaturity. So, the very last thing, how do we become servants? You ready? You need to come to the altar. That's what it's all about. What do you mean, Kenny? Well, the altar is a place of death. It's where we die to ourselves. We die to our bickering. We die to our selfishness, our pride, our comfort, our convenience, all this. And we say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. We say, it's not really what I want. It's what God wants. It's a whatever it takes mentality. You know, Jesus gave it all for me. What can I give for him? You know what I mean by that? I mean, he literally bled and died. We're saved by grace. Now it's time to live for him. Y'all with me on that today? So why do we not? Because we've not come to the altar. And I'm not talking about coming to the church altar, which is great. But I'm talking about a spiritual altar in your life where you say, I'll do whatever it takes. And let me just tell Life Community members this real quick. Guys, if we're going to grow and be what God wants us to be, this is going to have to be part of us. Are y'all with me on that too? Our members I'm talking to. It's just going to have to be. It's going to be, and I'm just opening up, bearing my heart this morning. Can I do that? It's really tough. It's hard. It's hard. And we're all in this together. But God's going to do great things. Be patient. Be tough. But just know you're part of something bigger than you've ever been before. We are. Did you know that? It's tough. And really, the way we serve today is really nothing compared to how some people serve. I took a trip to Honduras a few years ago, and the mission that we worked with, the mission group that we worked with, has a Bible college, kind of like a Bible college. They train preachers and stuff like that. So they took us to visit this place. And we went to the chapel, and it was kind of, it was like a tropical setting. You know, you got birds flying around and palm trees, and you got it's like an open, almost like a shelter that we were at, but it was their chapel. And they brought those preacher boys in, and they sat down on one side, and we're on the other, and the missionary gets up, and he says, "These are our students that we have. You know, they are doing great things." And, of course, they're speaking to us in English. The preacher boys are just sitting there nodding and smiling, not having a clue what's being said. And the minister or the missionary says, "I want to tell you about one of these guys. It's his final year. He's about to graduate. But we here at the mission require our seniors to do church planting if they're going to graduate." And they got to pick a village or somewhere to go start a church if they're going to get a degree from us. And he said, "Let me tell you about one guy. We didn't know this," he said, "but this is his story. He was serving in this village all year. And somebody came and pulled us aside. They said, 'You know about Brother Juan Carlos,' I think was his name, Juan Carlos. And they said, 'No, how's his work going?' 'Well, it's going good, but do you know what he's doing up there?' And the missionary said, 'No, we don't know.' Or the president of the institution said, 'No, tell me about it.' He said, 'Well, he takes a 3-hour bus trip from here to the village he's working in. And he has no place to stay. He's there all weekend. He sleeps in the grass. He sleeps on a bench. Doesn't know where his food's coming from. Then he gathers the people on Sunday morning. He preaches to them in the same clothes that he was wearing when he came. Gets back on the bus Sunday night and comes back to school.' The missionary said, 'He's been doing that for 1 year,' and he pointed at him. He said, 'There he is right there.' Not having a clue what he said, just smiling. Boy, how many of us would leave our families every weekend, sleep on the grass, on the dirt, not a blanket to our names, so we would have an opportunity to go to start a church, to tell somebody about Jesus on Sunday morning?" Missionary said he actually goes without food most weekends. Are we really sacrificing that much? Anybody here skip food to make this happen this morning? God is calling us to servant hearts, a do whatever it takes mentality, because that's what Jesus did for us. Small steps. God's taking us. Boy, we're on a journey. It's going to be awesome. He's growing this church. But it's small steps. Hard steps. Tough steps. But we're on a journey, and God's going to bless it. And I'm privileged to be part of that journey this morning. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And our challenge today is to come to the altar of our pride, of our selfishness. Maybe today you just need to say, "Lord, show me the areas of my life where I'm selfish." Why don't you just pray that in the moment? Show me where I'm selfish and correct that, change that. Ask the Lord to reveal to you right now an area that you're selfish in. Understand that's immaturity, but we all do it, but it doesn't make it right. Maybe today you need to take that pride, that selfishness that you have, and just lay it down today. Say, "God, I know you died for me on the cross. You died for me to be mature, to be saved. So take my selfishness, take my pride, my conveniences, what I like, and make it about you." Maybe today you need to come to this altar, or maybe you need to come forward and just kneel down and pray. Maybe you need to pray with me, pray with somebody here in the church. Maybe today you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. And you say, "Kenny, I want to be saved. I want Christ in my life. How can I be saved today?" Maybe you need to come forward and give your heart to Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here as we take small steps for what you have for us. And Jesus, they're hard, they're tough, they're challenging. But in the end, you get the glory. In the end, you make all the difference. So, Father, today, speak into our hearts. Grow this church. Grow this church. But God, may your name, more importantly, be glorified. May it be all about Jesus. May it be about the Word of God. We ask this in your name. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Worship. Let's worship this morning.